My husband just had some pretty serious neck surgery, and the surgery went very well. It was on Friday morning. He's at home being taken care of by our 17-year-old. We'll see how that goes. As he was coming out of the anesthesia, he was very, very funny. The first thing he said was, "Kate, I just had a conversation with Jennifer Lopez." "Really?" I said. "Well, fascinating." "And," he said, "Emmy Cervini, the bishop's wife, was on the Home Improvement show." So I ran out to the nurse and I said, "Is it okay that my husband isn't really making much sense at all?" And she said, "No, honey, don't worry about it. In fact, they're very, very sweet. You know, come to think of it, the only time I really liked my ex-husband was right after he came out of surgery." For the next few hours, JD made very little sense at all, and it was a riot. When it comes to reading the Bible, it's the exact opposite of my husband's nonsense. Whereas everything that he was saying really made no sense, what I've come to realize in all of my adult life through studying the Bible in the ancient languages in which it was written is that every single word makes so much sense. In fact, the deeper that you look at Scripture, the more meaning seems to come out of it. Every word, every movement, every description is full of meaning. For years, when I thought about the Christmas story and how God chose to be born as this little baby, I thought it was really just about God coming to be with us. And I think that's true. But I believe there's so much more than just that. Every single detail of this story is profoundly important. Why? Why did God choose to be born in the middle of a violent, crazy country, in the middle of the Middle East? Why did God choose to be born in a land where the ruler was going to hunt him down? Why did God choose to be born to a couple that had no home at all? Think about it for a minute. If you were the maker of the universe and you were going to decide where to be born, why? Why be born in such a fragile state, to such poverty, such pain? Why not be born in the Bahamas? Why not be born to some wealthy family? Why then? Why then? I think about Mary. She was probably, we think, 13 or 14 years old. Incredibly young. Taken from her home. Wed to a man she probably had never spoken to before. Because in those days, women were not allowed to speak to anyone other than husband or brother or father. And here she was, pregnant, traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. For all of you women out there who've had babies, what puts on labor? What makes labor go faster? Walking, right? I believe that most likely the Christ child was born premature. How could he not have been? What were they thinking? And all the pictures that have her riding on a donkey, oh my God. Can you imagine how uncomfortable? I've had 3 babies, and let me tell you, and I wanted to have them naturally, but I also believe God gave us medicine. So I was in the hospital in case anything went wrong. And I was taken care of from the beginning. I got to stay at home and listen to beautiful music. My husband played me Disney movies. I cried. The midwife called while I was crying, and she said, "Honey, why are you crying?" And I said, "It's all so beautiful." And she said, "Your labor is progressing nicely." You get to the hospital, and there are all these people that look after you. All these beautiful, clean rooms and sterile environments. Mary had nowhere to go. She had no idea what was happening to her body, most likely. Oh, and all that stuff about the inn, that's a bad translation. There is no such thing as an inn back then in Jesus' time. The room that they were talking about, the word that they use for inn, kataluma, really means a spare room. So Joseph and Mary were basically knocking on people's doors, and people were saying, "I don't have a spare room, sorry." Now, I know most of us wouldn't feel safe just taking in a homeless person, but I think that if a pregnant woman in labor knocked on my door, I hope to God I'd let her inside. Don't you? Everyone was shutting their doors. Can you imagine her fear? Oh, and we always have this beautiful little cottage that we build on Christmas Eve, you know. We love the story of this little hut that they were probably in. There is no hut. In Bethlehem, the winds are very strong, and there are rolling hills. And what the shepherds do is they dig holes in the side of the hills for the animals to take shelter from the wind and weather. The Christ child was born in a cave, in the dirt, in the manure. At night, most likely, because there were stars in the sky. Why? Why would God be born in the dirt? Why would God be born to someone so frightened? And then having to leave Bethlehem and go down to Egypt, being chased. Talk about needing years of therapy. Why? Why choose that? In a way, the baby Jesus was the ultimate victim. Could have died right there. Could have died later. Could have lived a life of misery, saying, "Oh, I had a terrible childhood. I was on the run. I was hunted." Why would God choose to look like a victim? You know, I have a friend who, up until about 9 months ago, was the dean of the cathedral in Cleveland. She's an amazing preacher and writer and photographer. I always looked up to her. Her name is Tracy. 9 months ago, Tracy was given a surprise diagnosis. She realized that she was having trouble remembering things. Details were slipping from her mind, and not the normal losing your keys things that we worry about. Now, something was off, so she went to a neurologist. She was diagnosed with early onset dementia. And she was told that in the course of a few months to a year, maybe 2 years, she was going to forget everything. She was going to forget who she was. She was going to forget who her loved ones were. She was going to forget how to preach. She was going to forget everything that she knew about the scripture. Everything. Now, most people would have decided that that was enough for them. Enough for them to feel sorry for themselves. I mean, after all, how could God do such a thing? Many people would have just been the victim and laid down and died. But not Tracy. You know what she's doing? She's traveling all over Europe preaching about dementia, trying to help people learn how to care for those who are losing their memories. She writes a blog, and just last week she was sitting in the American Cathedral in Paris crying. She tells us all about her pain, and we all are learning something from it. There's a young woman in this parish who was adopted as a baby. And when she got to be a teenager, she began to realize what that meant, that she had a biological mother who had given her up. She went into a terrible depression, had to be sent off to special needs camps and all kinds of therapy and treatment. Her parents, her adopted parents who adore her, didn't know if she was going to be okay. She was so wrapped up in her misery, in feeling unwanted, as if she didn't deserve to be here. And then something happened to her. I don't even know if she could put it into words, but she began to pray and to read the Bible, and she began to realize that being adopted and all of that pain, that fear of rejection that she feels, that she could use it. She recently told her mother that she was going to be working with orphans now. She's going to work with children who are adopted to help them feel loved, because she knows what it feels like not to be loved. I believe that every single one of you has pain in your life. I know that because it's part of the human condition. You may think the great American myth that if you buy the right stuff or look really good, your life will just be smooth. It's a lie. Every single one of us suffers. And we all suffer in different ways and in varying degrees. There's really no way to compare suffering. It can't be done. And I don't know what you're going through right now, whether you have a relationship that you're really struggling with, whether it's a failing marriage or a child who's estranged from you. Maybe your job is not what you wanted it to be. Maybe you are aging and you hate that. Maybe you're struggling with addiction or just feeling lonely or uninspired. I believe that Jesus came in the midst of pain not to be the victim, but to transform victimhood into victory. To show us that no matter where we are born, no matter who we are, no matter how lonely or discouraged or down we might get, we have a choice to make. We have a choice about whether or not we are going to feel sorry for ourselves and get self-absorbed and live into that role of victim, or whether we are going to rise. That little baby born in the dirt had the power to change the world. And you too. You have that power too. The scripture says that you are all children of God, children of the light, that light that shines in the darkness and will not be overcome by the darkness. You are part of that light. And the greatest temptation that we all will face is the temptation to think that our struggle is the last word. Only you can give permission for your life to end in a sad way. You are the writer of your story, you and God. And everything that you go through can be lifted up. Everything. Many years ago, I traveled to an orphanage in Russia where there was a little boy who had no arms, no arms below the elbow. His name was Vova. They were hiding him in the baby orphanage because they didn't want him to be taken to the home for the handicapped. When I met this little boy, I couldn't believe his attitude. He told me that he was praying to God and angels were going to come and take him home. He was sure about it. And when they took him home, he was going to change the world. Months after I visited him, a couple from Maine decided to adopt him. I don't think they looked much like angels. They were kind of overweight in their 50s, regular-looking people. But they came and they took him home. And he had to go through a whole series of operations, getting prosthetic arms. And he was always thankful. We have a choice, you and I. A choice to be the victim or a choice to rise. I don't think God could have gone through anything more painful than this kind of birth and then the kind of death that we know that Jesus experienced. If anyone had the right to feel sorry for themselves, Jesus did. But that just wasn't in his vocabulary. God doesn't do victimhood, and neither should we. So no matter what happens this coming year, no matter how crazy things are or how wrong things may go for you, I trust that you're going to transform everything for the good. Because you are children of the light. Amen.